Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 9, as we're waiting. If our ushers can shut these doors now. The children went out and opened them wide open. How many are ready for spring? Mark chapter 10, we're going to read verse 28 and 29. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Mark chapter 9, verse 35. He sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to speak to our hearts here today. We let your will be done in this house. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you today. Become victorious in surrender. Become victorious in surrender. You see, folks, each of us, for the most part, carefully plan our lives as we feel best. We want to be real Christians. We want to follow Christ. We want to live lives in accord and in harmony with God's word. But yet many times the concepts of success, the concepts of victory are closely tied to what the world around us calls success. You see, to be blessed is having life's finer things. Having a nice house, a nice car, fine clothes, a great job, and lots of money. According to the world, that's being blessed. But to have victory is when everything goes our way, according to the world. You see, when everything works out as we wanted and as we planned for it to, victory is overcoming obstacles to get where we want to be or to become what we desire. Often, the disciples were surprised at the way Jesus spoke about the matters of life, when he spoke about success, when he spoke about victory. Jesus spoke and Jesus taught a powerful but little understood concept. He talked about victory of surrender. See, the way we look at life, we look at the physical life, is our possessions, our things very dear to us, misplaced priorities, a source of pride. Our attitude about the physical is the body is kind of like the Greeks, the body is worshipped. There's a physical excellence rewarded with money. Ball players making multi-million dollars in their contracts. But see, when you talk about spiritual life, our priorities often are not on the spiritual. Often not on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Often not on being in the house of God. So our attitude about the spiritual is, it is good when we need it. It works if it works for me. It is great when it's convenient. It costs more than it pays. You see, it interferes with our plans. But the Bible explains, Paul talked about, he had a lot of going on for him in Paul's life, both physically, spiritually. Paul was a Pharisee. He learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He had a notoriety for his zealous fight against the Christians. He had a powerful experience which changed his life forever on the road to Damascus to prosecute the Christians. God got Paul's attention. God made him look at things differently by blinding him. You see how God does things sometimes, folks? When he changed his thinking and decided to look at life the right way. Because God got his attention by blinding him. Now think about it, what I just said. God blinded him, but he began to look at things differently. Come on. God restored his sight. God washed away his sins and filled him with the Spirit. And then Paul went into the desert. He went to Bible school in the desert. See, God's ways don't always seem like the easy way, does it? And then Paul began, once he began to live it for God, he was feared and rejected. Even as a Christian, he was feared. He was rejected by the people that he was trying to become. Thank God for Barnabas. Barnabas alone believed him and first brought him before the leaders and spoke on Paul's behalf. You see, Paul went through a lot in his service to the Lord. But you know what Paul did, folks? Paul considered it a privilege to serve God. Now, we hold much of the things of this life dear to our hearts. If we lost everything that we had attained and still have God, how would we react? You see, folks, Paul lost all that he had. As far as the world, he had a lot. He had success. But when it comes to just God getting his attention, he was blinded. So I ask you today, if we lost everything that we had attained in life, and we still have God, how would we react? I wonder if we could say like Paul in Philippians 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Paul said, I forget about all that stuff I lost. It's just dung anyways. But I'm going to press toward the prize of the high calling. How about old Job? Job had a lot going for him, didn't he? Job was really, truly blessed of God, and he was blessed physically, he was blessed spiritually. God was so proud of Job. Wouldn't it be great to have your name mentioned by the Lord as an example of someone who loves God and serves God? You see, the enemy, folks, of our soul, he had to get God's permission to touch old Job. You know what God did? He gave it. Go for it, buddy. Well, God, the only reason he serves you is because you bless him. Just don't take his life. You see, folks, would we be someone God would trust enough to give Satan permission to afflict us? And know that we would still love and serve God even in difficult times? Job lost all that he had in a series of tragedies. He was forced to reevaluate his life and came to this conclusion in Job 1, verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and threw a temper tantrum. Is that what it says? And worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The Lord gave you your pacifier, and he'll take it when he's ready. The Lord gave you your job, and he'll give you one back when he's ready. The Lord gave you your car, and he'll take it away from you when he's ready. Folks, could we do as well if all this happened to us? Brother Greg, you about ready to shave your head? Are you? Try that. Maybe the Lord will give you a job. Just kidding. Your wife will kill you. Come on, folks. Sometimes, folks, we get so upset when God, you know, something happens in our life. That's why I use the pacifier. God gave it to you at a certain time when you needed it. But you don't need it when you're 16. Huh? See, there's things that in our lives that God blesses with, but there's a time when God says, that's enough for that. Hey, Satan, listen. Have you ever thought of my servant Job? Have you ever thought about him? Oh, yeah, he just serves you because you're blessed. You bless him. Just don't take his life. You see, you might be going through something here today, folks, and God may be saying, devil, have you considered my servant here? Just don't take his life. It's easy to look back and say Job ended up, folks, and see how he ended up with two times as much in the end. But so often we gripe and we complain with God when one circumstance of our life doesn't go just the way we thought it should go. It wasn't in our planning book. And we get so upset. Now you may not, you know, get to church and have a testimony and just tell off, I am so mad at God right now. But God sees your heart. God hears you grumbling under your breath. Come on. And all God was doing was bragging on you. Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Listen to what he taught. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But yet we really want our own way. Amen? We want to pray it like this. Thy kingdom come, but yet my will needs to be done till you get here. Come on. Folks, Jesus had to fight similar battles, but he emerged victorious. How? When he surrendered his will. There's victory when we surrender our will. And we surrender our will to His will. Matthew 26, verse 39, and He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou will." So I ask you today, should you surrender? Should we surrender? The answer is yes. Matthew 16, 24 and 25, then said Jesus unto His disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him have his own way." Let him deny himself. What's God want us to deny? And then, you know, not only deny ourselves, but He wants you to take up a cross. And He said, then He wants you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Do we really believe that? You see, it is challenging, but it's necessary. It's necessary if we want to lead a surrendered life following God. Folks, I encourage you today, be open to surrender. Learn to deny yourself what you want, because you want what God wants. You can't really want what God wants if you want what you want. Take up His cross. Come on. That's it. Come on. Take up His cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in doing so, follow Him. Follow Him. You see, the first step is probably the hardest. Being open to surrender. Because you know what? That's, man, where's God going to take me? We like to know where we're going. Huh? Any of you just pack your bags, jump in the car, and just start driving? Anybody ever do that? I remember years ago, my dad got mad at my mom about something. Packed all of us kids up. We just drove down Route 42 all the way down Cincinnati into Kentucky. We didn't know where we was going. Dad didn't either. But he turned around and went home. Folks, we don't do that. When we're packing our bags, we know where we're going usually. And we know how long we're going to be there and when we're coming back. Because the boss wants to know. But it's usually the hardest. Now think about it. Abraham. God was dealing with Abraham for a while, and all of a sudden He said, "Okay, God, I'll surrender. Where do you want me to go? Just pack your bags." Now, think about this, folks. See, this is one of the reasons this is hard, too, because Abraham packed everything up, even took a nephew with him, and they said, "Where are you going, Abraham?" "I don't know." Are you kidding me? You got all this packed up, and you don't know where you're going. Now, Abraham was a wealthy man. He had to have influence, and a lot of people probably respected him until this. All those people that thought, man, Abraham's a great guy. He's a wealthy man. I mean, Abraham's got it going. His family respected him until God. Now, I'm sure Abraham served God for a while, but as long as Abraham served God and did his own thing, that's okay with everybody. But folks, I'm telling you, when you get your mindset to surrender to God's will and not your will, the people around you is going to say, what's wrong with you? Why are you living that way now? What happened to you? Are you part of a cult? Come on, we've heard that. Huh? It's funny, some of those people that call us a cult, it's amazing the things they do for their church. Some people don't even go to church and they get their tithe envelopes sent to them. I said, if I sent tithe envelopes to your house, people would go nuts in this. There's churches do it all the time. You see, folks, you're a pretty good person. You got it going on until you surrender to God. Where do you want me to go, God? I'll show you. What do you want me to do, God? I'll show you. God, who do you want me to marry? I'll show you. That's what he did to Abraham. He said, just follow me, Abraham. I'll tell you where you're going. And people think you're crazy. But you're going to deny yourself the things you want, the lifestyle you want to live, and you're going to live it for Jesus. You're surrendering. Amen. You're going to take up a cross. People don't understand that stuff. They don't want nothing to do. They run from pain. They run from hurt and things of that nature. They do everything they can. They go to the doctors. They get pills. They do whatever. They don't want pain. I don't want nothing to do with a cross. But I'll follow Jesus as long as I can do it my way. You see, folks, we're so often afraid of what everybody else's perception of us is going to be. And we're not concerned about what God wants us to be. Jesus gave an invitation to join him. He says, if anyone would come after me. This is an open invitation to surrender to and to walk through life with the creator of the universe and the savior of the world. And now, folks, as wonderful as that sounds, it's hard to do. Because, you see, folks, surrender goes against the grain of our stubborn, sinful hearts. For sinners, it takes admitting that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Come on. If you're a sinner here today, you have to admit that you need a Savior. And folks, if you're here today and you have done this, you know how hard it is to admit, I need a Savior. Which enables a person to surrender in the first place. You have to admit, I need it. That's what enables you to surrender. I need help. Now, for many people, it takes years to surrender to God. I remember my dad started taking me to church. I was around 4 years old. But it wasn't until I was around 12, somewhere in there, that I really decided I wanted to live for God. Well, they tried to get me. They tried to get me to serve him, but I was stubborn. You see, folks, in 1 John 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. John 15:15 says, henceforth I call you not servants, but for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You see, folks, God has expectations that are for your good. And folks, and he lays out some very specific conditions to his disciples on how to follow. He says, look, I want you to live for me. I want you to surrender yourself, but this is how I want you to do it. You got to deny yourself. Matthew 16:24. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, which means that we are to surrender self-will and embrace his perfect will. You see, it's a difficult task, though, to be sure, and one that we are so often underpowered to do on our own. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I can use every bit of it. I need the power. I need his love. And I definitely need a sound mind. Many of you are saying, thank the Lord. He's not there yet, but he's working on it. Now think for a minute about your life. Are you living it on your terms? Or are you living it on his terms? When you obeyed this Acts 2:38 gospel, and you were saved if you obeyed that, you said, in essence, I surrender all to you. Right? Can you honestly say that you have done this in all areas of your life? Huh? Now, if you're like me, the answer is no. But I really want to. I really do. Pray for me. Folks, we need to pray to God to reveal those areas in our lives that you have failed to surrender to him. Okay, so first he wants us to deny ourselves. And then he wants you to take up his cross. Jesus also calls us to take up his cross in verse 24. What does this mean, though? You see, as followers of Jesus, we know that we were crucified with Christ on the cross. In Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sins of all mankind, his crucifixion gives us the opportunity to open fellowship with him for all eternity. 1 John 1, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But it all means that we will share in the burden of carrying the cross. Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That's powerful. That's powerful, folks. We are to seek and follow God's will no matter the cost. Now, in your world, your relationship with God might cost you. It may cost you your family. It may cost you your friends. It may cost you your job. Or in some extreme cases, your life. But fortunately for many of us, Jesus Christ was the perfect model of surrender. John 5 and verse 30 says, I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Listen here, saint of God, will you surrender the self-will that hinders you from having a better relationship with Jesus Christ? Will you do that? We all know what it is. And if you don't, be like David said, search my heart. Search my heart, God. Know my ways. So we have to surrender and say, God, help me to take care of this, what hinders me in my relationship with you. Or God, will you invade and capture my heart and let his lordship hold tight to that lordship. You see, that will eventually fade away at the expense of forfeiting all that God has for your soul if you won't let go. God has so many things he wants to bless us with, but so often we won't let him in certain areas. We won't let him take control of this area or that area. So we have to deny ourselves. We have to take up his cross. That's not easy. And we have to follow him. Jesus asked us to follow. He said, follow me. You see, for humans, following anyone is a difficult task. Especially when it involves giving up any measure of control. We like to be in control. Come on. Over the years, I've prayed with people. And it just seems like something is holding them back from receiving what God has for them. And sometimes I've just taken them aside and said, did you have abuse? And so often, people that have been abused refuse to allow anything to allow them to cry. I'm going to be in control. You've made me cry for the last time. And you may come and you may do things and attack me and beat me or whatever it may be. But you're not having my emotions. And I know that touches some things, some nerves. But see, folks, we know following anyone is a difficult task. Because we like to be in control. And we don't want to give up any measure of control. A perfect example of this is Jesus inviting Andrew and Peter to follow him. And they left everything behind when they followed Jesus. And Jesus also encouraged the rich young ruler to follow him in Luke 18. But he refused. He refused to sell everything he owned and thus wouldn't follow God. It is tough to follow because we like the feeling of leading and being in control. How many of us like to drive behind a slow moving truck on a highway? I want to see where I'm going. And that truck gets in front of me. Or even if I come up on it, I ain't following it long. So we get behind this truck and as impatient as we are, it ain't going to be long before we pass. And then we can enjoy the wide open road ahead of us. How often do we feel that God is moving too slowly? He's causing us to get behind. We're lagging behind. God, speed it up a little bit. Come on. So we're all guilty of this. Don't sit here and act like you're innocent. I'm not the only one. But we think God is just moving a little too slow. In some of my prayers, I'm like, God, come on, let's hasten this a little bit. Come on. You know you're going to do it. Why wait 3 days? Do it right now. Huh? Come on. We don't like to wait. We don't like to follow. See, folks, when we do this, we leave the safety of His will for the uncertainty of our own. When we pass God up on the highway, folks, we're saying, okay, God, I'm going to ride up here. I'm going to do things on my own. When you catch up to me, when it's convenient for me, then I'll do what you want me to do. And that usually doesn't lead anywhere good. Come on. Let's be honest. That's why we came to Him in the first place. Said, God, I need You. Because we knew we messed things up. Right? Being a disciple of Jesus Christ takes strength. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ takes wisdom. But more importantly, it requires us to surrender control of lives once and for all to Him. For He, folks, is the source of such strength and wisdom. When you deny yourself, take up His cross and follow Him, you find life. Folks, don't go getting ahead of God. When you find life, it is worth pondering. Is there any downside to not surrendering? Folks, we see a clear warning of failing to surrender to Christ in Matthew 16:25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Quite simply, think about this. Anyone who seeks to save his life by pursuing their own interest and rejecting God's gift will live a shallow, meaningless life, devoid of God and an eternity apart from Him. Think about it. There's quite the consequences. And while God may choose to bless people with earthly riches, those who reject Him will have no place with Him in heaven. You see, folks, hell is full of wealthy people who never surrendered any portion of their lives, and especially not their souls, to God. And that's why total surrender to God is the most important decision a person can make. Now, are we willing to surrender to God's will, or will we still push for our own regardless of the consequences? Will we surrender to the Lord in order to be victorious in this life? You see, everything we receive from God comes through surrender. Amen? Grace and forgiveness by repentance comes by what? Changing our thinking and the way of life and submitting to God. Remission of sins by baptism comes by a willingness to be buried by baptism in Jesus' name. Receiving the Holy Ghost comes by surrender to God's Spirit, allowing Him to speak through us in tongues. You see, our answer to prayer comes by surrender to His will and His service. Let's stand. Folks, yield yourself to the moving of God's presence that you feel in this place right now. God was here. God is here this morning. He came in here and He touched people. He's touching hearts. I encourage yourself today to yield yourself to that moving. We need here today to make Jesus Christ Lord and Master of our lives. He wants you to surrender, that you can live a victorious life. This altar is open for those that would like to come and surrender here this morning. Become victorious through your surrender. Become victorious in your surrender.